Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
Spirit, one God, amen. Happy Coptic New Year, everyone. It is the year 1736. And why is it the year 1736 of the martyrs? We started year one at 284 AD, in a time in the season of the church when Emperor Diocletian, who was the worst like emperor in the history of the Roman Empire, who had it out for the Christians, and he came to a time where over a period of 3 years, he killed over 840,000 Christians. And he said, "I will continue to kill the Christians in the streets until the rivers of blood in the streets reach the knees of my horse." After hundreds of thousands of people dying, finally his horse tripped and fell, dipped its knees in the blood, and he said, "Finally, this is enough." 840,000 in a very, very short time. And it's a time in which when we talk about the martyrs in the season, the church gives us the best icon for martyrdom, and not martyrdom not only as dying and shedding his blood for the sake of God, but martyrdom meaning witnessing and being a witness in his generation. In today's gospel, we see the Lord is calling us out, because I think it applies to our generation, when Christ said, "To what shall I liken the men of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon.'" The Lord is saying, what would it take for this generation to change? He says, "We played the flute for you. We gave you a message of joy and you didn't dance. And then we gave you a message of conviction and repentance and you didn't repent." And so he's saying, what would it take for this generation to turn around? Especially, I imagine, we, the children of the martyrs and the children of the saints of the Coptic Church, and we look to people, our great grandfathers, who we take so much pride in the lives that they lived. When will we take on the same call and say that I myself would be like the martyrs, set apart in my generation, different than my generation, to witness to God and to His kingdom? I'd like to take this morning to reflect a little bit on Saint John the Baptist and how the Lord viewed him, and what was it, the great things that made St. John the Baptist truly who he was. It had come at a time when the people of Israel hadn't had a prophet for 400 years. I want you to imagine, no prophet, no word of God being proclaimed, no man of God in his generation for 400 years. We just didn't pray in the church for 2 years. We prayed in the gym for 2 years, and we find everything was chaotic. Could you imagine the temple without 400 years, without a prophet? And he came in a very dark time in his generation. And he came, and the Bible says something amazing. It says, "And all those from Jerusalem and those from Judea came to the wilderness, confessing their sins, and were baptized by him." I always wonder, what would it take? I want you to imagine if it said, and everybody from Washington, D.C., and everybody from Northern Virginia went out to West Virginia to go and to see a man. You'd say, what would this man have to be? That the people from the big cities and the people from the big metropolises would go out to see him. And even Christ says in the book of Matthew, he says, "Did you go out to see a reed shaken by the wind?" You know, like a stick easily moved by the wind. "Did you go to see a man clothed in soft garments? He says, no, those are found in kings' houses. But what did you go to the wilderness to see? What is it that you want to see? What would it that would cause the church to turn from its ways? For the church to come back and say, we will repent. I'm not talking about somebody heard a nice message in church and maybe goes to confession. Two people maybe to stay a little bit extra and spend some time in prayer. What would it take that all the men of Jerusalem and the people of Judea to come confessing their sins and to be baptized? What was so different about John the Baptist? What is it that we need to become that all the world would turn back to Christ, bowing their knees and confessing that Christ is Lord? It says that he was dressed in camel's hair, eating locusts. So he wasn't a very normal person. You know, I want you to imagine somebody eating locust sandwiches. Like you could imagine everybody who thought that Saint John the Baptist, he was a weird person. And he accepted to be different in his generation, dressed in camel's hair, because he's coming with a different message. He's coming to say, we cannot be like the world. If you were to identify with anyone in this story, if you were to identify with John the Baptist, today, you yourself, would you identify with John the Baptist? Would you identify with the people of Jerusalem and Judea? Would you identify with the Pharisees in today's gospel that says, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him? Who would you identify with? Of course, none of us would want to identify with anyone in the story except for John the Baptist. But how hard it would be to be like that. Saint John the Baptist, I want you to imagine, he went to King Herod and he rebuked him and he told him, it is not lawful for you to take your brother's wife. And it came at the cost of his head and his life. How was it that somebody in his generation, the Lord in John chapter 5 says he was a shining light. He was a lamp in his generation. And how many people are looking for light? How many people are looking for somebody to shed light? Believe it or not, even your children. Your children are looking to find out who they're going to go after. Where is the power? You see, all the people of Jerusalem and Judea saw the power in John the Baptist. They saw something in him more than just camel hair and locusts and acting like a weird person. No. They saw in him a power that they had never seen before. I wonder if today our children see in their parents, if they see in the church and the servants and the priests and the deacons, if they see John the Baptist. And if they look and they say, I will never go out after the world. I don't care what temptation faces me. There could not be any power in the world compared to the power that I see in John the Baptist. I want you to imagine a young child sees his parents standing and praying before the Lord, and their prayers are bringing miracles. They have a financial problem. They teach the kids, okay, we're going to stand and we're going to ask the Lord, and the Lord provides. And they see struggle or some problems in the family, and they see their mother crying with tears for their children or for her lost husband. And the children will never forget, the tears of my mother have turned maybe my father to repentance. This is the spirit of John the Baptist, the messenger. We say every morning, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Every morning, the first hour, we wake up and we say, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. We should say, there was a man sent from God whose name was Paul. Or there was a woman sent from God whose name was Mary or Jennifer or whatever your name is. And the Lord today is coming and saying, you were sent from God. You are the messenger. You are the messenger of Christ's gospel, that all would come and to repent. I was listening to Saint Isaac the Syrian, and he was talking about It is great that you do good works, but he says, it can't be that you go and you preach and you are like the blind leading the blind. He says, you need to strengthen your inner life. He says, more important than anything else is the inner life. And in the inner life, it is then that the inner life will draw people to his kingdom. Anyone can come and raise their voice and raise their hands and give some exciting words and make people emotionally excited. But it is the power of a strong inner life. Can I ask you, do you have an altar erected up in your life? It says in the time of Elijah, all the altars were broken down in the time of Elijah. And he came to restore the altars. This morning, do you have a true altar? A place in which you offer yourself as a sacrifice before God and say, Lord, I am yours. How much John the Baptist laid down his life and he consecrated his life, and he is the perfect icon of consecration, of giving his whole life to the message of God. I want to ask you this morning, where is your altar? Do you have an altar in which you stand and you praise the Lord and you strengthen the inner life? An altar in which you offer yourself and your body as a living sacrifice called by St. Paul. When we look to the saints today in the Synaxarium, you see St. Maurice and a legion of 6,600 soldiers. 6,600 soldiers. And they said, we're going to kill every 10th soldier that maybe the rest of them would offer to the idol, since they didn't want to give up their walk with Christ. Can you imagine? 6,600 men, none of them gave up their faith. None of them would offer one stone of incense to the idols. 6,600. And then you see Saint Verena in the story, in whom her feast is today, a young girl who also offers her life. So it's not just these tough soldier men who are used to preparing themselves to die, but even the young woman who said she became a missionary in Eastern Europe and Western Europe to go to preach and to care for the sick and to minister to a young girl just traveling to another continent far from anything that she knows to give her life. Do we have witnesses in this generation or not? Not me. Don't look at me. Leave me in my life. I just want to do my thing. I'm going to go to my job. I'm going to, pay my bills. We can't be that person. Is it you or not? Do you want to be the witness or not? But you have to pay a price. You have to pay a price. Saint John the Baptist paid a great price to be different in his generation. Not somebody standing up here and raising their voice and raising their hands and singing and that's wonderful. But Saint John the Baptist paid a price that he could prepare the way for the Lord. Do you want to prepare the way of the Lord for your neighbors, for your spouse, for your children? You have to be John the Baptist, and there's no other way. We have people in every generation who truly walked down the narrow path and were different than everybody else around them. And they said, I will be John the Baptist. I will be John the Baptist who will prepare the way of the Lord. Today, as we celebrate this gospel, because his feast was earlier this week, we must look and say, can I be John the Baptist? Maybe I serve a Sunday school class, but you're called to be John the Baptist in your Sunday school class, not give a lesson. Maybe you are a father or a mother, or you are a neighbor or a roommate. You are called to be John the Baptist in that house. No one else. Do not settle for the Pharisees. Do not settle for the people living in the city. No one less than John the Baptist will bring people to the path of the Lord. I pray that we would find this inner call and that we would erect up our inner altars, laying down our lives on the altar as living sacrifices, pure and holy before him. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.